The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, as you've been hearing, the Taoiseach is among several EU leaders gathering in Denmark today for an informal European Council meeting to talk about defence and drone incursions. And meanwhile, here on Irish soil, the presidential hopeful for Fianna Fáil, Jim Gavin, has blamed an unnamed drone pilot for the, what he calls, oversight of a promotional video of the aviation safety chief taking part in a parkrun event filmed using a drone in what would be a red zone without permission. Joining me to talk about all of this and more, political correspondent with the Irish Times, Harry McGee. Harry, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Like drones over there and drones over here. I don't know what the Taoiseach can contribute to the drone conversation in Copenhagen, but there will have to be questions answered about Jim Gavin's drone in Dublin.
There will be, yeah. So, it's one of those gotcha stories. It's a kind of an embarrassing story because of his role. He's essentially the chief safety officer for aviation in Ireland in his role with the Irish Aviation Authority. He is the person who's in charge of safety, and that includes all aircraft. And drones, of course, would be an essential part of that. So a promotional video for Fianna Fáil was done in Portersdown Park, which is in Dublin 15. And it showed Jim Gavin, along with Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, who's the Director of Elections, taking part in a park run, these fun runs on a Saturday morning, 5 kilometre fun runs, which are held in parks throughout the country. And you could see what the intent was, of course, to show his kind of participative community spirit. But the difficulty was that part of the video showed aerial footage of all the runners massing at the start and taking off, and it was an integral part of the video. And of course, the Independent subsequently discovered that the drone footage was taken in a red zone. That's a restricted zone, and drones are not allowed to be operated there without making an application to the Irish Aviation Authority for permission. So the blame was put fairly and squarely on the shoulders of the drone operator. Jim Gavin wasn't personally operating the drone, and the Fianna Fáil said that the drone pilot had been reminded to contact the Irish Aviation Authority, essentially for retrospective permission or for retrospective notification. But it led to embarrassment all around. I'd say, as they say in Dublin, that one or two people within Fianna Fáil were scarlet after this. After this information came to light. So it was a typical, classic kind of gotcha type of story.
You can see that Jim Gavin, you know, the fit man, ready for the presidency. We're unlikely to see drone footage, I think, of Heather Humphreys and Catherine Connolly jogging in Portersdown.
No, well, jogging is an understatement. I think both of them ran 5K in 23 minutes, which is considerably faster than jogging. So I think they were running, actually. So both of them would be, on that time, both of them would be quite good recreational athletes.
All right. Now, meantime, the Taoiseach is in Copenhagen. Now, we're not a member of NATO. We don't have any anti-drone capabilities. What can he possibly contribute to that discussion about incursions, you know, on European airspace in the east of the continent?
Yeah, well, I think for him, I think it would be essentially his attendance is a demonstration of solidarity with fellow EU countries, all of which are subject to these incursions. So three different states within the EU have experienced activity by Russian military and reconnaissance over the past couple of weeks. It happened in Poland. It's happened in Latvia. And of course, we saw the drone activity around Copenhagen Airport in recent weeks, which has led to the suspension of all drone activity in Denmark over the past couple of days. And European leaders and NATO, of course, are taking this very seriously indeed and are formulating a response to it. And It comes in the kind of the context of of increasing animosity between the European Union and Russia in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine.
Now, back home to the budget discussions, is the Department of Education and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, SPAT, is that the key one?
It is. It does seem to be. I mean, I think all departments have been indulging in gnashing and wailing of teeth because the Minister for Public Expenditure and the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, and Jack Chambers have both said that there isn't any extra money, that they have to stay within their budgets. In recent years, there's been a bit of flexibility in relation to extra spending as we come closer to October the 7th, helped by the big windfalls that we've had in corporation tax and other forms of income tax. But this year, they seem to be sticking to their gun, saying no one-off payments, no extras. And the big sticking point, as you said, Pat, has been in relation to this request by the Department of Education for 3,000 to 4,000 extra teachers in order to try to bring the teacher-pupil ratio right down. And Jack Chambers has been telling the Department of Education that that money is not available to recruit these new teachers, and that has led to a very prolonged standoff between him and the Minister for Education, Helen McEntee, on this matter. And I think that those discussions will take place right up until Budget Day. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, the Central Bank and others have warned the government not to overheat the economy by having an expansionary budget. They're already criticising the €9.4 billion package is too much already, and I think there's an intent on both ministers that 9.4 figure will not be exceeded this year. They failed to do so in previous budgets. We'll see if they will manage to do that when the budget is formulated on Tuesday of next week.
Well, let's hear what Michael Gillespie, the General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland, has to say about all of this. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, no more teachers. There's no budget for them. Tough.
Well, I don't think an investment in education is going to overheat the economy. Basically, every year for the last couple of years, we've had 400 special education classes set up around the country. They all take more than one teacher. They take SNAs. That's a big part of what's going to be needed going forward. So for the sake of balance sheets, are we going to say to parents who are fighting very hard for special classes that there's no more teachers for that? We also have the biggest class size in Europe. We need to invest in the future of education and public education for public good. So at the moment, we're redeveloping our senior cycle, which is, you know, very high trust. It absolutely performs very well. And yet we have the biggest class size in Europe. We know we're not going to be able to design bespoke education with an additional assessment of components for the modern world with the largest class sizes that we have at the moment. So this investment is necessary. If you go back and let's look at history even, when it was famously brought in free second level education in Ireland, that investment in education led to everything we've achieved in the last 50 years on that. Investment in education is not wasted, and teachers are needed. We also are in the midst of a recruitment and retention crisis. There's no guarantee we're even going to be able to recruit these teachers, but we definitely need them. You can't have a class. A class is very simple. There is a class, there must be a teacher in front of them. That's the numerics of it. You don't need a balance sheet or to be an accountant.
What do you think of your minister's efforts to get that cash and get those teachers, Minister Helen McEntee?
Well, she is showing a commitment to teaching. She's showing a commitment to special education classes by looking for these. She's absolutely looking for additional teacher for DESH and DESH Plus. We know we've spoken to her on this, and she's shown huge commitments to look for DESH to help disadvantaged students, especially given the fact that we are redeveloping senior cycle. We're bringing special education into schools. We're opening up schools to inclusive education. That cannot be done on the cheap. It doesn't understand balance sheets.
Now, it's interesting that in Britain, the Labour Party has walked away from Tony Blair's famous target of 50% of students should go on to third level education. And what Keir Starmer is looking for are a gold standard apprenticeships, because if you don't have people to do the work that AI can't do, your economy falters. What do you say to that?
Well, we've invested hugely in third level, obviously, and our third level sector, the technological universities, are a keystone in supplying apprenticeships. And we are at the moment, the National Apprenticeship Office and the Department for Further and Higher Education has put in huge amounts of investment in the learn to earn pathways. bringing in new apprenticeships, and these new apprentices are being successful. But obviously, we have a lot of students who believe the only way to go is third level. Now, remember, we have the highest participation in Europe in second level. 93% of our student population complete Leaving Cert. We just have to open up the pathways, the other opportunities we're given around the country to these. But we're definitely going in the right direction. I mean, I think countries like England are trying to catch up with us. Our problem is we still have the biggest class sizes.
Yeah. So the problem is there are loads of teachers graduating, it would appear. So there is an availability of the labour, but the jobs aren't there. But the public always have a suspicion that as soon as people sign up for a teaching job, off they go. They get a job, and as soon as it's permissible, off they go to the Gulf.
Well, that's not true. I mean, basically, we have an expanding population. We're unlike a lot of communities in Europe. We haven't even reached peak second level yet. That's the maximum number of students.
Yeah, but is that the reason the government doesn't want to provide permanent jobs that when they look at the demographics will not be needed, say, in 15 years' time, and they'll be stuck with a whole pile of people and class sizes that will actually get very small?
Yeah, but that's 15 years from now. What do we do with the... half a million students that are in post-primary, or almost half a million, for the next 15 years? Do we just make sure that they have to suffer with the biggest class size in Europe and that they can't benefit from the modernization of the education system to deal with, say, artificial intelligence, additional assessment components? Every country in Europe who is trying to embrace this is working on the base of smaller classes. And the one thing they're all missing that we have is highly qualified teachers. We still are attracting the brightest and the best teaching. What would happen if we don't anymore? That's a bigger problem for Ireland. If we start following the pattern of other European countries, where their biggest problem is they don't have teachers at all.
Okay, Michael, thank you for that. That's Michael Gillespie, General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland. Harry McGee, listening to this. Harry, is this a really significant row, or is this a deflection from other things? I mean, we saw the report in the Midwest. I think maybe Harry has left us, so we'll have to leave that there. This text coming in: my daughter, an experienced primary teacher in London for 5 years, is back at home and could only secure a teacher position as a sub at 60% of the full rate. The principal she works for is tearing the hair out, as our daughter will not stay because of this rule. She had no Irish, as she spent 10 years in the US as a graduate. She's an amazing teacher, but can only be a sub. And she's now in Monaco because of the rule set in stone here. That's from a mother of an experienced teacher. Now, coming up later on News Talk, health insurance prices are set to increase again. Dermot Good will be here to answer any questions you have about how to stay within budget on your health insurance. You can WhatsApp them to us, 087 1400 106. But next, former fighter pilot Sean Bell speaks to us live from Ukraine. But first, before we go there, we'll talk about this.
News Talk's Cash Machine. The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.